Welcome to another episode of Uncensored. In Kwadukuza, on South Africa's north coast, approximately 800,000 people live in a district where the government has not installed a single air quality monitor, not one. In the winter of 2024, the air they breathed violated the legal standard 16 times. Nobody told them. A non-profit called it Communities Against Pollution, CAP, discovered what the government wasn't measuring. They installed monitors, collected 3 years of data, and what they have found transformed an invisible problem into documented evidence of institutional failure. Today, we're talking with Paolo Del Fabbro, who co-founded CAP and led this research. Paolo, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me back again. Nice to chat.
Yeah, and it's Earth Day, so this is a very appropriate topic. Paolo, let's start with the basics. What did you decide to monitor? Why did you decide to monitor air quality in Kwadukuza when the government wasn't?
Penny, I think it was probably one of your articles. Way back in 2018, you said that the government had failed to install or had installed monitors, but it had failed to transmit any of the data or make it public.
Yeah. So you're filling a gap the government left empty. How did you set up the monitoring? What did you actually, you know, put into process, and how are you measuring them?
Well, basically, we're using a concept that's used internationally. So it's a citizen science project. Most of us would like more volunteers so that we can analyze the data, raise funds to put more monitors in the ground.
Yeah.
But ultimately, we started off with one, and 4 years later, we now have 30 in the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that's a remarkable achievement. And now you've got 3 years of continuous measurement. Like, that's a commitment. What was the first thing that jumped out at you when you started looking at the data? What surprised you or concerned you most when you started seeing if there was a pattern that was emerging?
Well, the study had, we set a number of questions.
Yeah.
And all of this information is available on the document, which will be on our website.
Yeah.
As soon as the webmaster puts it up. But we started with the questions, is there a problem? Can we measure it? How can we translate it into a language or a visual that people can relate to? And does weather make a difference?
Yeah, and now just tell us the headline numbers. What are we talking about in terms of pollution levels during the winter versus summer? What are we actually seeing on the ground?
The main issues that we have is in winter, the weather conditions are dry, there are inversion layers, and we have the farmers that burn the residue crop before they send it to the mills. Those fires have a substantial impact on the quality of the air that we breathe, and we've seen in that three-year period 24-hour averages as high as 90+, which is really just unacceptable.
So how long does this quality of air last during the winter months?
In winter, if there's a particularly strong inversion, you get a build-up. It'll start off, let's say, at 20 micrometers per cubic meter and slowly build itself up to the 50s, 60s, and even 90s on some days.
Yeah, so it's in your report you said six times the legal limit for 3 months straight,
yeah.
You know, for 3 years. Now, that's a pattern, but you've identified something specific causing this agricultural burning. Talk us through how you trace the pollution back to the source. How did you connect the dots between the pollution spikes, crop residue burning?
Well, it's an hypothesis that we've set up, and the monitors are basically confirming the idea that the monitors that we selected are quite specific. They are in areas that do not have the freeway or informal settlement burns,
yeah,
or high traffic volumes. So the ambient air measured is what is happening around there. So, for example, if the monitor showed a spike, I would generally phone the host and say, are you having a braai or are they burning sugarcane?
Yeah, and they...
And basically, it's confirmation. So the monitor shows the spike and we have verbal confirmation of what is happening.
And you've collated that over 3 years and you've
and
seen
we've
the
measured,
pattern.
Yeah, we've measured that over 3 years. Each of the monitors measures between 1 and 3 minutes, and we get the data which is stored, and we then analyze it.
Yeah. When you quantified what the burning actually means in terms of pollution released, I mean, the picture you painted was quite scary. Can you just tell the listeners, in terms of the emissions, what it actually means when you talk about tons?
Right. What one of the things that we wanted to do was to quantify the volumes. We all see it. We live in the area. We see the burns. The farmers don't deny they burn.
Yeah.
But what does it actually mean? So we then looked at various studies, worked out the formula as to what is emitted per hectare, and the total amount of PM2.5 or air 2.5 air pollution is 420,000 tons per annum.
Yeah.
Which is phenomenal. And again, that number is difficult to visualize. So again, I'm a visual person, so I like translating it into something that we could all see and understand. And if my calculations are right, that volume would require 14,000 truckloads, which means if we backed 30-ton trucks from Ballito to Richards Bay and back, that's how much is
being
put out into the sky every year.
And then you said something about cigarettes. You know, that's the equivalent. How can you qualify
that's
that as
another,
well?
Yeah, that's another visualization that we like using because we can all relate to it. And Kusazama Zuma all told us and made us believe that smoking is bad for us. So we then equated the PM2.5 counts to cigarettes. And so the numbers are, again, for every 22 micrometers per cubic meter that you breathe in, it equates to one cigarette.
Yeah. So,
and then you compound it over the year or the month or the day, and you then calculate your cigarettes.
Yeah, and then you realize what the impact is for sensitive people who have health conditions and young children and the vulnerable, obviously. You know, the government has data on legal violations. They have a source, identified, they have documentation. You've gone further and you translated the pollution into language people understand, and that's where the cigarette equivalent metric comes from. So everyone in winter breathes the equivalent of, in your report you said, 1.45 cigarettes a day or more.
So Berkeley University basically made that formula. It's used internationally as by air advocacy groups to explain the metric because it is an easy one to understand.
So our air in Kuala Kuza now shows that there is a significant problem. Let's talk about
especially in winter.
Well, this data, what does this data demand? The government has air quality standards. We can't deny that. South Africa has a National Environmental Management Act. The government has clear legal obligations here. So when you look at the legal framework, the standards, the act, the government's responsibility, what's the government's obligation when it discovers air quality violations like this?
Well, I think government also needs to change those standards. Those standards were last updated in 2012.
And we're way below the world.
And we are, our numbers are just embarrassing in comparison. Our systems are in failure. The SACWIS, which is supposed to be measuring the information, is in failure. You just got to go and look at the government Lakota reports less than 27% of the monitors are functional. So we as a community and we as CAP attend everything we can where government does these things. So, for example, there was a baseline report that KZN did. Unfortunately, in that report, they did not mention agricultural burn.
Yeah.
We, as CAP, put in 23 amendments. Unfortunately, government ignored everything and left it there. We have passed on the report to the DA, and hopefully they will take it further. So we act as an advocacy group,
yeah,
push with politics. Our first choice would be to find collaborative solutions rather than force government to come up with different plans. But the responsibility is ours as a community.
Yeah, if we they went measuring it. You've measured it. You've clearly shown that there is a pattern, there's a problem. And the air quality here, we know now, is not, you know, you can't deny it. When you have the figures, it's right there. And you've called for community-based air quality advocacy forums, not consultations, in the past. Is that are they not advisory boards? You know, what's the difference? What's the distinction? What are we? We've got this data. Government doesn't implement anything that they should be. They're not monitoring it because they haven't had the budget and the skills or the personnel to do it. There's no data they can work from. What do we do now with this?
Well, we as CAP will be putting forward this data to provincial and to national government.
Okay.
We will be engaging with them in various formats. But on the ground, I do think that we've got to have the conversation because it starts with us. We all drive cars. We all have Smokey Joe Bries. And many of the farmers in our area will use the agricultural crop burn because it is efficient,
yeah,
and cost effective. Our aim is to find collaborative solutions rather than to say shut down.
Okay. So if nothing changes, if government continues not to look, industry continues burning outside certain parameters, and monitoring stays absent from them, what is at stake if Kodikusa stays on this trajectory? Air quality, health, the district's future? What are we looking at?
Well, the government is also aiming to implement a national health plan, doomed to fail before it starts. How many people in our area suffer from asthma? The government has absolutely no idea. I can tell you right now, based on our information and the data that we're getting, we know where the causes are. So, what's the point of issuing a medicine if you don't need to, if you found an alternative methodology?
Yeah, and Paolo, one final question. Communities Against Pollution did the government's job for them, measured the air, documented violations. You've made the evidence. You're going to be making it public. What do you need now from everyone listening? How can everyone else get on board to support CAPS in this? And how can we stop this trajectory?
Well, we'd love for business and concerned citizens to assist us. We have a volunteer program, and obviously our entire operation is dependent on donations. So the more we receive, the more we can do, and the more people will be informed.
Yeah, and tell me, you have also just recently installed a weather station in Belito. Can you quickly talk around that?
Another exciting, exciting element or arrow in our quiver.
Yeah.
With the weather stations, and thank you to the support of DOCRA, we are going to install a series of weather stations, which then allow us to further exactly identify where the smoke or air pollution problems are coming from, because we have the historic database, and it'll simplify some of our complaint schedules that we have, because we don't have to manually put in the data. We have the historic data.
And that's going to be, and that data will be available on your website, or
the,
what
the
other
general
means?
Data. So we all wake up in the morning and say, what's the weather going to be?
Yeah.
Most of that weather information comes from high altitude satellites, as does a lot of the PM2.5 stuff. Our networks are basically at human level. So
we're getting real time.
Yeah, exactly. So everything that you have is real time. The first weather station we will make available on the website and on DOCRA's website, you will be able to get real lifetime data, weather data, with all the information that's there.
Yeah. And give the community some information in terms of how to reach you. Obviously, we'll put it onto the podcast notes at the end on your website. How can they reach out to CAPS?
Our website is cap-mzanzi.com, and on that we have various articles, the actual monitors that you can watch real time and click and get further information.
Yeah, I know. Paolo De Fabro from Communities Against Pollution. The data is public. The violations are documented. The source is identified. The government's job now is to show whether it actually protects public health and what we can do about the problem that is facing Kwadakuza. Thank you for joining me, Paolo.
Thank you.
Will be having a further conversation on something very exciting as well that we're looking forward to with regards to an app that you will be launching.
Yeah, it'll be available. The short little video will be available, and it personalizes all of this information. You'll get notifications as the air changes. So especially for those people with COPD, asthma, or any respiratory problems, you will now get notification as soon as the air changes to orange and or above.
That's very exciting. Thank you very much for joining us. And this will be on a podcast. That's it for now, folks. Join me next week when we have another episode of Uncensored.
When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security. As the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring, with over 4 million rand invested in AI technology, they protect over 50 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324 777. Your safety is their priority.